at Captera.com.
Welcome to True Talk on WMNF 88.5. This is Ahmed and Summers traveling today. Today marks 1 week since the horrific attacks in New Zealand on the New Zealand mosques by a white supremacist terrorist. Today in New Zealand, special commemoration prayers were held. The New Zealand government had broadcast the Adhan, which is the call to prayer for the in the Islamic faith. The attack had taken place last week during Friday service prayers, which is a congregation prayers for Muslims. And as the prayer was about to start, a gunman went in and shot using a automatic weapon or modified assault rifle and killed 50 people. Dozens more were also injured. It has sent shockwaves around the world. It sparked the conversation about the root causes and about the dangers of white supremacy and ethno-nationalists. And so this week, in New Zealand, on the 1 week anniversary of these attacks, in New Zealand, the Prime Minister held special services, joined special services, marking the 1 year or 1 week anniversary of the attacks in Christchurch, New Zealand. And they actually held the prayer. So 1 week later, they held the Friday, or what it's called in Arabic, Jummah prayer service in an outdoor field near the mosque that was attacked. And this was carried a few hours ago. Obviously, New Zealand is in a different time zone. It's about 17 hours ahead of us. So this happened earlier today. So now we're going to go to this audio of the speech, the sermon that was given by the imam, the religious leader that's in charge of that mosque that was there when the attack took place. He's one of the survivors. And a week later, gave this speech to thousands of people live. It was broadcast live on New Zealand television, and it was also broadcast, carried by many networks around the world. So we're going to go to that sermon now. It's about 30 minutes, and when we come back, we'll take your phone calls at 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663, and you can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. And now to Christchurch, New Zealand, for this speech and sermon.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى وأسأل الله عز وجل أن يتقبل الشهداء مع الصديقين والشهداء والصالحين إنه سميع قريب مجيب الدعاء. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة المسلمون، brothers and sisters in Islam, brothers and sisters in humanity, brothers and sisters in New Zealand, last Friday I stood in this mosque and saw hatred and rage in the eyes of the terrorist who killed and martyred 50 innocent people, wounded 42, and broke the hearts of millions around the world. Today, from the same place, I look out and I see the love and compassion in the eyes of thousands of fellow New Zealanders and human beings from across the globe that fill the hearts of millions more who are not with us physically, but in spirit. This terrorist sought to tear our nation apart with an evil ideology that has torn the world apart. But instead, we have shown that New Zealand is unbreakable and that the world can see in us an example of love and unity. We are broken-hearted, but we are not broken. We are alive. We are together. We are determined to not let anyone divide us. We are determined to love one another and to support each other. This evil ideology of white supremacy did not strike us first, yet it struck us hardest. The number of people killed is not ordinary, but the solidarity in New Zealand is extraordinary. To the families of the victims, your loved ones did not die in vain. Their blood has watered the seeds of hope. Through them, the world will see the beauty of Islam and the beauty of our unity. And Allah, the Almighty, says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. Do not say of those who have been killed in the way of Allah that they are dead. They are alive, rejoicing with their Lord. They were the best of us, taken from us on the best of days, in the best of places, and performing the best of actions. And they are not just martyrs of Islam, but they are martyrs of this nation, New Zealand. Our loss of you is a gain to New Zealand's unity and strength. Your departure is an awakening not just for our nation, but for all humanity. Your martyrdom is a new life for New Zealand and a chance of prosperity for many. Our assembly here, with all the shades of our diversity, is a testament of our joint humanity. We are here in our hundreds and thousands unified for one purpose: that hate will be undone and love will redeem us. We are taught by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you can never truly show gratitude to the Almighty God if you are incapable of thanking your fellow man. To the people of New Zealand, thank you. Thank you for your tears. Thank you for your haka. Thank you for your flowers. Thank you for your love and compassion. To our Prime Minister, thank you. Thank you for your leadership. It has been a lesson for the world's leaders. Thank you for holding our families close and honoring us with a simple scarf. Thank you for your words and tears of compassion. Thank you for being one with us. Thank you to the New Zealand government and to all the wonderful people who have shown us that we matter and are not forgotten. Thank you to our police force. You put our lives before your own every day. Thank you to the neighbors who opened their doors to save us from the killer. Thank you to those who pulled over their cars to help us. Thank you to those who brought us food and held us when we found it difficult to stand. Thank you. Thank you, New Zealand, for teaching the world what it means to love and care. To my brothers and sisters, those who are here today to perform the weekly Friday prayer, thank you for coming together once again. It is easy to feel lost after the trauma you and I experienced. But the promise of Allah made to us is true. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Give glad news to the patient. Those when afflicted, they say, to Allah we all belong, and to Him we shall return. They are those upon whom God's mercy descends. Thank you for your strength and your forgiveness. Thank you for your anger that is restrained and for your mercy that is overflowing. Thank you for your steadfastness and standing tall when many others would fall. Thank you. Ud'u Allah yastajib lakum. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونصلي على نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وآل بيته الكرام وأصحابه الغر الميامين. أما بعد، إسلاموفوبيا كيلز. Muslims have felt its pain for many years. It has killed before in Canada, and its brutality was used against teens in Norway and against innocent Muslims in the UK, USA, and other countries around the world. Islamophobia is real. It's a targeted campaign to influence people to dehumanize and irrationally fear Muslims, to fear what we wear, to fear the choice of food we eat, to fear the way we pray, and to fear the way we practice our faith. We call upon governments around the world, including New Zealand and the neighboring countries, to bring an end to hate speech and the politics of fear. The martyrdom of 50 innocent people and the injury of 42 last Friday did not come overnight. It was the result of the anti-Islamic and anti-Muslim rhetoric by some political leaders, some media agencies, and others. Last week's event is proof and evidence to the entire world that terrorism has no color, has no race, and has no religion. The rise of white supremacy and right-wing extremism is a great global threat to mankind. And this must end now. I want to take this opportunity to thank my Muslim and non-Muslim brothers and sisters for attending today. And I would like also to thank our international guests who are with us and had come to our support and aid in these difficult times. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين اللهم اغفر للشهداء وارفعهم في عليين مع الصديقين والشهداء والصالحين واشف الجرحى والمصابين وأنزل الصبر علينا جميعا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين واحفظ بلدنا نيوزيلندا وأهلها أجمعين O Allah, have mercy upon us all. O Allah, have mercy upon those who were massacred last week. O Allah, grant to them the highest level of paradise. O Allah, grant to the injured a speedy recovery and grant to the families of the victims patience. O Allah, grant our nation and country New Zealand peace, security, and protect it and its people from all evils. O Allah, grant to the entire world peace, security, and prosperity. O Allah, protect New Zealand. O Allah, protect New Zealanders and the world. Ameen, ameen, wa aqim as-salah. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Stretching ourselves, inshallah. Stretching ourselves. Come closer. Bismillah. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
So, الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر.
Welcome back to Truth Talk on WMNF 88.5. That was a live sermon that was happening earlier today. It was live when it happened. It was actually several hours ago in New Zealand in Christchurch at this mosque that was attacked by the white supremacists who killed 50 people on the 1 week anniversary of that massacre. The government of New Zealand, in cooperation with the Muslim community there, held a commemoration event 1 week later on a field outside the mosque, and there was a prayer service, and it was led by the imam of the mosque, who was actually in the mosque last week when it was under attack. And in honor of those who died, they held the service. They held the 2 minute moment of silence to remember those who had passed. They also broadcast this service as well as the adhan, which is the Muslim call to prayer. across the country on government channels, and it was carried by the various networks. It was a very symbolic event. In New Zealand, the country came together, and it was actually carried live by several networks around the world. And here at True Talk, we wanted to play this speech as well as the events that were happening there to remember those who were killed. Obviously, as you know, Summer and I are both Muslim, and we host a show. This show covers a lot of news and current events and global affairs that deal with the Muslim world. And this was a traumatizing event for us and our community. And I want to share these moments with you, as well as remember those who were killed. The imam saying that blaming Islamophobia, and in his speech blaming Islamophobia and white supremacy and the toxic hate speech that's repeated over the airwaves as some of the causes that had caused this massacre or led to this massacre that happened to his congregation. Saying that Islamophobia kills, meaning that Islamophobia led or leads to the killing or to violence against Muslims, and that governments and politicians around the world, as well as in New Zealand, need to do more to counter and combat Islamophobia, just as they need to continue to combat and counter anti-Semitism and anti-Black racism and all other forms of racism. He also thanked the leaders in New Zealand, specifically the Prime Minister there, who has shown a great, has been an example of leadership for politicians around the world, for embracing the community, for standing with them, for comforting them, for letting them feel that they're part of the society, that they are one, and saying that what the terrorists tried to do to divide the communities apart or tear the society apart, it was not able to do that because they're actually coming together. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. And our email is dj@wmnf.org. And we'll take some of your calls in reaction to that. What's your reaction to the horrific attacks that took place last week? And what's your reaction to the speech that we just heard? Is Islamophobia to blame? Is it other? Is the rise of white supremacy? Why is it happening now? It has gone unchecked for some time. It's been around for a while. But it seems more and more that it's on the rise. Is there any validity to some of these grievances? What should be the response to it? And, you know, one of the things that also strikes me is the role of governments since 9/11 in the war on terrorism. Has the war on terrorism increased the levels of Islamophobia? Is there a connection between the military-industrial complex, which wants to prolong wars, wants to continue to fight battles in the Middle East and Muslim world, where Muslims are often depicted as the enemy? Are these things contributing to that rise of Islamophobia, which is leading to violence against Muslims? Some of the very same people that have been condemning the attacks and what has happened, they have been in some way, shape, or form peddling Islamophobia, whether directly or indirectly. Is that leading to that? When for the past, 18 years, here in the United States, America has been at war with different countries. I mean, even President Obama himself bombed something like 8, 9, or 10 different Muslim countries. No other countries were bombed except Muslim-majority countries using drones. Of course, George W. Bush doing the same, kicking off the war on terrorism and the war in Iraq. And it just seems like a never-ending battle with this conflict with countries within the Muslim world and with terrorists in those countries. The rhetoric that has led up to that, is that leading for more of this Islamophobia rhetoric? We're going to go to Odessa for our first phone call. Go ahead. You're on True Talk.
Hey, how you doing? I was thinking that this all comes back to civilization. Are we going to really work towards civilization? Or are we going to keep that lizard brain alive? It's that lizard brain that is always ready for xenophobia, always ready for looking for an outsider and violence. And, you know, our violent caveman past is always just below the surface. And people who don't work towards civilization and play towards populism and anger and xenophobia, that lizard brain, to rally their base, are really pushing us back. We're becoming more uncivilized. Play towards populism and anger and xenophobia, that lizard brain, to rally their base, are really pushing us back. We're becoming more uncivilized. Play towards populism and anger and xenophobia, that lizard brain, to rally.
You make a good point, Matt, and thank you. Sorry about the audio situation.
No problem.
As the community continues to be, we live in a small world now, and the more information, it seems like, you know, information travels instantly, especially with the internet. You would think that we'd become more civilized, but it seems like we're going backwards, like you're saying, becoming more tribal. And, you know, this attacker in his manifesto kept saying things like, you know, he wants to make sure Europe remains white. He says things like that, you know, because he did this Q&A in his manifesto, and I encourage people to read it. I don't encourage people to watch the video, but, you know, read his thoughts to see where he's coming to understand what the problem is. And this wasn't just some ignorant, illiterate person. You know, even, I guess, literate people can be ignorant or arrogant. But in his Q&A with himself, he basically says, "Do you hate all Muslims?" And then he says, "Muslims in the Middle East or in Muslim countries, I don't hate them." But he hates Muslims who migrated to the West and are living in non-Muslim countries, as he calls it, as if there's a place for Muslims and a place for other people, and he wants to keep that segregated. And he says that the person he hates the most is the white person that converted to Islam. So he has this huge animosity for those individuals that he, you know, despises the most. But more and more people have this thought that, you know, they want to keep the world divided as it used to be, that somehow there's a place for white people, a place for black people, a place for Muslims, using languages like invaders. This is language that Donald Trump uses. So, you know, I think you're right that the more we progress, the more we're actually, in some ways, at least a portion of our civilization is going the other direction. And I'm not sure what they're afraid of.
Well, it all comes down to that 1% of nutcases in all religions ruining it for everybody else. You know, we could decry Christianity by their shooting abortion doctors through their kitchen windows as they're doing the dishes and say all Christians are that way. And we can say, you know, all Muslims are that way, or all, doesn't matter. It's this 1% of nutbags who ruin it for everybody else.
Right. Yeah, I try to avoid using the word nutbags or nut jobs, or, you know, because they're not so crazy. Of course, they're extremists. They have an agenda, but they're inhumane. They lack the empathy. When you go in and you just start shooting people and killing them, and you don't even, you know, flinch, There's, you know, definitely there's a type of hatred inside you, and that's of concern. You know, I don't think this guy is any different than what ISIS does, or people that join ISIS that kill people, all these extremists, violent extremists, regardless of their nationality or religion, they share the same thing. They're cut from the same cloth. They're the problem. And unfortunately, oftentimes, politicians delve into this rhetoric, you know, of us versus them, and that only fuels it more and gives it legitimacy. But thank you for your call, Matt. We're going to move on. Okay. We're going to go to Kelly from Tampa. Kelly, welcome to True Talk.
Blessings. Thanks for broadcasting this solemn event. I pray that we can learn from this event. I pray that our leaders will take a look at the Prime Minister of New Zealand. I thank Rob for having been an inclusive citizen, because of his inclusiveness, from day one, we have True Talk. And that ceremony, that prayer, it gave me goosebumps, because I felt the spirit of the love and the sincerity. And that is what I pray, that all the ears that listen to this event, and that from here forward, we can make a change towards the love of God. Blessings.
Thank you, Kelly. You make a good point, and it's truly a blessing, like you said, that we have this opportunity at WMNF and True Talk. And because of the leadership of Rob Lori in the news department, he took a shot took a chance on our show and felt at the time, this was in 2003, at the end of 2002, he saw what was happening, the trends, the rise of Islamophobia, the rhetoric coming out of the White House, and felt that there needs to be a different narrative. A different voice, a response. Muslims telling their own stories for themselves. And in many ways, that's one of the reasons why I got into doing community work and community organizing and speaking and trying to represent the community in a way, because I felt, especially when it came to the media, that on television you had all these white people speaking about my faith, my people, my religion, my background, and none of them are Muslim, none of them are Arab. They're all white, and it was frustrating to see people, and most of the time they're talking, or almost all the time they're talking about my faith and my community in a negative way and so far from the truth. The one thing that, and so definitely by having this opportunity to be able to broadcast this message coming all the way from New Zealand following a horrific event, that we're able to participate in that and carry it over our airwaves to our listeners is something I'm proud of. And it sends, it's also the example of the community there, the Muslim community in New Zealand, after their response to this horrific attack, is also an example for Muslim communities around the world and people around the world. They're calm, they're upset, they're sad, they're grieving. But imagine, and you know, I was, because I'm in touch with some of the leaders there, imagine they just finished, and it's not a huge community, but they just had this massacre where 50 people were killed, family members, loved ones, friends, people they've been praying with for years, and all of a sudden they perish in this horrific attack. And they don't have time to grieve. And immediately, they have to do the hard work of being able to prepare for burial all these people that were killed. So you have to, you know, and it's been a daunting task, because I don't think they released the bodies until Wednesday, because they had to do autopsies and other things. and they started doing the funerals. And in the Muslim tradition, the Islamic tradition says that you have to do the burial and the funeral immediately, preferably within 24 hours, within the same day or the next day. And there's a ritual involved. They have to, individuals, family relatives, or close individuals do what's called like a ritual body washing to prepare the body for burial. Once they wash the body and they wrap it in two white sheets, they apply some perfume, and then they hold a prayer service, and then they do the burial, and they have to do that for 50 people. It's like you have to keep reliving this trauma. And on top of that, then you also have to show leadership for the rest of the community and for the rest of the world, and put on this massive prayer service that took place today on the 1 week anniversary. So that takes a lot. And on top of that, not being angry to the point where you're going to blame Christianity or Christians or to stereotype or generalize, to have this calmness to say what this evil individual, this white supremacist wanted to do, we're not going to allow him to break us apart. We're going to stay united as a community. We're going to stay united as a country. And we're going to fight against the hatred and the root causes of this. I saw a video of one of the people who actually, his wife was killed. And I was so surprised. I mean, because it's easier said than done. But on the BBC, he basically said that he feels pity for the killer. He has forgiven him. That he even loves him. He hates what he did, but he loves him. And he hopes that he will find peace at some point. For somebody to have that type of heart when you're in so much pain, and the natural thing is to hate the person that committed the heinous crime or the evil that cost the life of your loved one, it's almost not human. And then when people ask, you know, how did you do this? How are you able to do this? He says, well, that's what Islam teaches me. So our phone number is 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663. And our email is dj@wmnf.org. A little bit ago, we had just played a video or an audio that was live earlier of the New Zealand prayer service marking the 1 week anniversary of what happened in Christchurch, New Zealand, the horrific attacks there. And, you know, I continue, as I mentioned before, the other day I was at the mosque in Tampa, and while there, it was a morning prayer. It's before sunrise. It's still dark out. And, you know, the way the mosque is set up, the doors are behind you, and the, I guess, pulpit or the direction we pray towards is in front. So our back is towards the doors where people enter from, and we're lined up in rows. And as I was praying, sometimes people arrive late to the prayer, and we're not sitting down, we're standing up, and you have to be focused once the prayer starts to look forward and not look around. And as I was in prayer, I heard footsteps coming up behind me, and, you know, crossed my mind, is this person a friend or foe? Is this person coming to hurt us? Or is he just coming late to join the prayer? And, you know, the thought that that's what I have to think about when I'm at the mosque or doing worship is something that, you know, is troubling. And, of course, once he joined the prayer, then I was relieved, you know, that this is just, you know, another worshiper, a friend that's joining the service. And we moved on. And we're going to go to Mike in Tarpon Springs. Mike, you're on True Talk. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I mean, the main thing I have to say is that I think the speech was profound in its humility.
Okay, go on.
Given all the arrogance in the world that perpetuates all the negative things that are going on, and I think it's as simple as that.
We need some of that humility, because it's like you said, there's, you know, we live in an era where it's the gotcha, where it's the politics, where it's putting people down like Donald Trump does all the time.
Well, that's what this is. This is what I'm referring to. And the rest of these people that are perpetuating the violence and the division in the world right now. And I thought his words were, you know, peaceful words, and a peaceful person typically is a humble person that thinks about the other person and thinks about the betterment of the world and not only themselves. I thought it was very profound.
Yes, it seems like not just in the leadership, but just in ordinary people, we lack more and more people in the world lack that humility, that type of tone, to love other people, to be at peace. It just seems like it's not the trend right now. But yeah, you make a good point. Was this the first time that you heard an imam give a sermon?
No. I listen to your show all the time, and no, I've been in Turkey, and I've been in North Africa, and I've been in a lot of places.
So when you, you obviously have been to a lot of places, so you've been, I guess, exposed to Muslim culture and Muslim people. And now when you meet other people that haven't had the same exposure, do you recognize the difference?
On any level of people's, exposure and travel and understanding, fosters tolerance.
Right.
And it's easy to sit in one place and say, I don't believe in that. But when you break bread with people and you see how they live and you expose yourself to other people's ideas, then you know that's what we need more of. And the lack of leadership that's coming from our government here in this country is troubling, to say the least.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. And you're right. I mean, the more interaction we have, especially cross-cultural exchanges, the more people travel, the more people recognize the beauty of the world, the beauty of the diversity. And they're not so they're tribal in the sense that they want to preserve self-preservation of their race. What does that mean? Why do you want your race to remain white? Why? I mean, it's a natural progression of this world that people around the world are going to marry, they're going to have children, they're going to have mixed marriages, mixed cultures. That's the world we live in, especially if you're in the United States. And in places like New Zealand and Australia, these were not white European nations. These places were invaded by white Europeans, and they eliminated the original native people of the land, and it became nations of immigrants, like the United States. This is a nation of immigrants. It's not just a nation for white people. That's not what the Constitution says. So when people want to have this self-preservation, where they want to just keep it just for their race, you know, and oftentimes we'll get into that another time. But we might have, we're actually running out of time now. So
thank you for your show.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
We got a message from a few people that texted in to say, you know, peace, that they enjoyed the speech. Thank you for listening and for being part of this. I think we also got some other emails. You can email us after this at truetalk@wmnf.org, truetalk@wmnf.org, and we will review your messages, maybe read them on the air next week. NPR News is going to be next, and we'll be back here, and after that it should be Radioactivity. We'll be back here at the same time, same place next week. This is WMNF Tampa, and have a great weekend. And NPR News, take care.